This morning's Bible reading and the parable that's in it may have, perhaps, probably didn't, but may have inspired part of the movie from 1979 that starred Steve Martin and Bernadette Peters. What movie am I talking about? The Jerk. Who've seen The Jerk? Funny movie. I mean, it's not a deep movie or anything like that, but it's funny. And remember this part here. Here's Navin, who has made a fortune with these glasses holder things that OptiGrip. There we go. OptiGrip that goes on and hits your nose here so that your glasses don't slide down. And then all these people kept looking at the OptiGrip when they wore glasses, and they got a cross-eyed syndrome. And so he's lost, it was like $10 million at the time, but so that's like a bajillion dollars now in 1979 dollars translated to 2010. So he's lost it all, and he's upset with his wife, Marie. And here's what Navin says. He's like, "Well, I'm going to go then. I don't need any of this. I don't need this stuff. I don't need you. I don't need anything except this. And that's all I need is this. I just don't need this or this. Just this ashtray and this paddle game. The ashtray and paddle game, that's all I need. And the remote control. And the ashtray, the paddle game, the remote control, that's all I need. And these matches, the ashtray and these matches, the remote control and the paddle ball, and this lamp, that's all I need. The ashtray, the paddle game, the remote control, the lamp, matches, that's all I need. And I need this too. That's all I need. I don't need another thing, not one. I need this. The paddle game, the chair, the remote control, the matches for sure, and this, that's all I need. The ashtray, the remote control, the paddle game, this magazine, and the chair. And then there's a line a little bit later in the movie, not too far after, but he's sort of made up with Marie. And, you know, he's upset that he's lost all this money and everything. And Marie says, "I don't care about losing the money. It's losing all the stuff. The stuff. How much stuff do you have? Take an inventory right now. Look at your stuff. And how much of your stuff do you hold on to because simply having more stuff makes you feel more secure and more powerful because it's good to have stuff, right?" I'm not going to go into the George Carlin routine from about 1985 about stuff. He talks about your stuff is stuff and other people's stuff is some other four-letter word that rhymes with a word I won't say because then you'll know what word I'm going to talk about, but stuff. In this week's Bible reading, Jesus addresses stuff. Here's how he addresses the stuff. He says, "Stay away from greed. Stop accumulating so much stuff. Focus on having a rich relationship with God." And then the part that's sort of nestled in the middle there, but I think is the crux of it all, is the sum of your life is not measured by how much stuff you have. So stay away from greed, that first one. In this congregation, the congregation that's somewhat little today, but not as little as it was, you know, 10 minutes before church started, right? We have folks across the financial spectrum, from secure to not, right? What seems greedy to one may not seem at all greedy to another. I mean, there's kind of a relative thing about stuff that some of us have. So the question is, what is greed? It is not, and I started mentioning this last week when I talked about rote is good. I talked about Gordon Gekko, you know, from Wall Street, soon to be Wall Street 2 or something like that. It is not, even though Gordon Gekko said it was, good. Greed is not good. But the word translated as Greek, as greed, there I go again. The word translated as greed in this morning's Bible reading, it's covetousness. And nobody says covetousness. They say greed. But it's wanting something enough that you're willing to get it by any means necessary. No matter who you step on or hurt or steal from or what laws you break in the process. It isn't wishing for something and working hard. Or even having much of something. It's the drive to get it by any means necessary, no matter how wrong. Stay away from all kinds of greed. Trying to get stuff by any means necessary, no matter what laws you break, no matter who you hurt in the process. So stay away from that. That's probably easy enough, right? Don't be a jerk is kind of what that says. Don't be a jerk with your stuff. And this is all I need. Stop accumulating so much. I can't say accumulating. Stop accumulating so much stuff. So, raise your hand if you know the answer. How much stuff is too much? How much stuff is too much?
My stuffed animals.
You have a lot of stuffed animals, don't you? Has anyone ever said you have too many?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people have said that before. Collections are nice, but there is... How much is too much? And, you know, I'm not really talking about that. Yeah, go ahead.
A thousand.
A thousand what, though? $1,000 doesn't even pay the bills, right? Yeah. Who else had a hand raised? Did you want to say? Yeah, did you want to say how much stuff is too much? No?
No.
No. Don't say it. I'm not really talking about the stacks of things that we have. We all have stacks of things. Look around. Some of us have more stacks than others, but we all have stacks. Some collect old newspapers, and others stack boxes in their homes because they have trouble parting with some of the memories or worry that if they don't keep it, they'll miss it someday. I think there's an accumulator in all of us. And some have more trouble with that than others, with piles of stuff, right? But I think Jesus was talking about something different than that. I know that stacks of stuff are stuff, right? They're stuff. But it seems like Jesus is talking about something more about ornamentation and an aura of power. Stop trying to make yourself look better with all your expensive stuff. Stop getting bigger homes to store your precious works of art. Stop getting more and more because you want to show it off so that people will believe you are better than they are. We all have stuff. We all have hobbies that results in collections of stuff. Cassie likes to craft. She likes to make things. And in our room, there's one section of the wall that is just full of shelves of stuff that she's either made or is in the process of making or equipment to make something. I call it the big wall of craft. That's stuff. It's sort of a collection. You probably have a big wall of craft in your home, and you're giggling because you're thinking of the other word, I know. That's why I say it, because it's funny that way. This is not a sermon designed to have someone go home and say to their partner, "The pastor said we shouldn't have so much stuff, and I think you should clean out your collection." That's not the point today. Take inventory of why you have this stuff. Is your motivation related to greed or power? Does your stuff harm your relationships with others? Does the accumulation of stuff consume you and detract from living? Then maybe it's time to get rid of the stuff. But you decide for you. Don't decide for someone else. That's doing the whole wrong thing with a message. This is about stuff, but it's about you looking at your stuff, not at someone else's stuff and saying, "Oh, that's stuff." That's the George Carlin routine. Your stuff is stuff. It's precious. Their stuff is craft. The Message translation talks about the next part. Focus on having a rich relationship with God. Listen to what it says. The last verses of today's reading go like this in the Message. Jesus sums up the parable that says, That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. And the way I read it today, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. Fill your barn with God. And no, not in the literal sense. I know that we have people who have barns here, and we fill our barns with equipment or livestock or corn or beans, depending on what the season is, when it is. There's straw in there. There's hay in there. But fill your barn with God. Instead of focusing on getting more and more stuff by any means necessary, focus on getting closer and closer to God. Now, it's not as if God is ever not close to you or ever turned away from you. But when you focus on things that keep you from growing closer to God, your end of the relationship suffers. God never goes away. God never abandons you. God never says, I've given up. That's it. You're not worth it. God's right there. We turn away. God can still like burn healing and do whatever there. But when we're not focused on having a rich relationship with God, our end of the relationship suffers because we're not nurturing that end of it. In that last part, the sum of your life is not measured by how much stuff you have. So what should the sum of your life be measured by? What do you think? I'm not talking about trying to earn God's love or do anything to have a spot on the heaven roster when you die. It's not that. Yeah, the heaven roster. It's not that. It's not what do you have to do? What should the sum of your life be there where you get to God and say, well, I've done enough good, right? Please let me in. Eternity with God in heaven isn't something that we do or who we are or anything like that. It's entirely about who God is and what God does. I'm talking about what makes a good life. I mean, here, what makes a good life? I watched an episode of Doctor Who lately. I watch all the episodes of Doctor Who. Go ahead, call me a nerd. Come on. Thank you. Who watches Doctor Who? Go Keith, yes. The doctor says this at the end of an episode. Life is a pile of good things and a pile of bad things. And the good things don't always soften the bad things. And inversely, the bad things cannot spoil the good things or make them unimportant. And if all you can do with your life is add to someone else's pile of good things, then that's a good life. If all you can do with your life is add to someone else's pile of good things, then that's a good life. That's what I'm talking about. What is the sum of your life? How does your life affect others? The person in the parable, the rich man, was concerned with one life, theirs. I will build bigger barns for my stuff so that I can have more and more stuff. And I will be happy, and my soul will be happy, and my, and my, and my, and my, and my. But how does your life affect others? That's the point of what Jesus is saying here. It's about generosity. It's about being a giving spirit. Not everyone has the ability to give tons and tons of money. Not everyone has the ability to give tons and tons of time. But we all have the ability to be giving spiritual people. How does your life affect others? How much do you love? How generous are you? How much do you help? How hospitable are you? Who do you advocate for? What do you advocate for? Who is important to you? How do you live out God's call to love God and to love everyone? So in short, Jesus calls us and asks us, what are your treasures? And let's pray. Thank you, God, for your words. Thank you for our ability to have stuff. Help us to be generous in giving. Help us to be generous in helping. Help us to be generous in loving. Help us to be a people who share our treasures. In Jesus' name, amen.